Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast Between the Sticks. Me, Matt Beadle, here with the earlier voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. How are you?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad, although I've been rushed. Rushed out of bed, rushed into my own recording studio and needing to record right away. Not like the Tuesday slot, which we've taken in recent weeks and months, to be honest, but no, Monday. When I'm busy on a Sunday, you're like, right, Monday, we need to record at the last minute.
I can be very demanding, Matthew. You're well aware of this. And there is a reason for it. I would be busy tomorrow. And I thought, of course, I know how desperately our listeners want to hear us by Tuesday latest, let's be honest. So could we wait till Wednesday? Possibly it becomes a little bit old. So let's just get it done. Except you were obviously quite busy yesterday, weren't you? So to actually get all the content together ready for this podcast wasn't quite so easy for you this week.
It wasn't. No, I was occupied yesterday, but we've pulled it out the bag. The only thing that we'll be missing, and I hate to say it, is Clean Sheet Club. You'll be delighted, but the goalkeepers that kept those clean sheets will not be delighted. What it does do is give us a little bit of anticipation. We've got an international week, so we won't be doing a podcast next week. So yeah, we'll have a bit of a break for Clean Sheet Club, but we'll be back, and then there would have been a few more games, at which point we can deliver a table.
Okay, that sounds good. But do you want to explain why you were so busy yesterday? Do you want to show off for a minute or two?
No, not really. I'm not going to show off, but yes, I was occupied doing a triathlon. Yes, I was doing a triathlon at Dorney, which was very enjoyable. A lovely day for it. A bit burnt today, a bit burnt on the old neck and the bonts, but well worth it. Very fulfilling, satisfying, Richard.
Yeah, and I see that you finished 85th, I want to say, which most are going to hear that and think, well, that's not great. I mean, look at you, fine figure of a man. What, 6 foot? 6 foot on the dot, 6'1", maybe, you know, in great shape. Surely we're looking at a top 10 finish at some point, but there were the best part of 500 contestants. So 80, not too bad, happy enough.
Yeah, not 85th, 81st or 80th, I think. And top 10 in my category, which I'm delighted with. Although, when you look at the category, it's basically a bunch of old fellas is what the category is.
I did see the word veteran in the category. I did see the word veteran. But no, very impressive, very good. And I know that this does go up on your Instagram from time to time. So, and I always enjoy it. Do you know why? Because you always seem to wear the most ridiculous pair of shorts. Is that like part of the thing, part of the event, like to wear a crazy pair of shorts? Or is that just your fashion choice?
So I did, on the first one I did wear a silly pair of shorts. One, because I knew as soon as I put a post up that I would get a reaction. And it genuinely happened within side 5-10 seconds of me putting that first post up. I got loads of comments about my shorts. Wouldn't have expected anything less from you, Beadle. Exactly what we thought you would wear. But I would say, I also, the main reason I did it, one was that so the people that came to watch would be able to see me coming, so they knew to cheer when I was on my way towards them. And two, the amount of comments you got from people that you didn't know, being A, runners, who were like, yeah, I love your shorts, go on, go on. And people on the touchline, like I'm playing a game of football. People watching who were, applauding me because of my shorts. It gives you, a bit of an extra oomph as you go around.
Yeah, okay. No, that's a reasonable explanation. So we can see this on your Instagram, which I know that you absolutely hate all forms of social media. I think people have probably got a little bit of a feel to Matt Beadle right now. You know, if it's up to him, there wouldn't be mobile phones in this world, let alone social media. But you do have Instagram against your will. What is the Instagram handle?
Yes, I feel like I'm being dragged in. This is what I always say to people. I feel like I'm being dragged into the 21st century, one Instagram story at a time. But I am playing the game. I get it. It's part of what we have to do. So I am at MJA Beadle. if you really want to follow me and, you know, not have that much exciting content, crack on. Yeah, please do.
Please do. I would advise to follow him just for the shorts, if nothing else.
On with the show.
Let's do it.
We are going to start at the London Stadium, West Ham 1, Man City 3, Richard. And we're going to start here because for the 19th time in his career, Lukas Fabianski came off or on as a substitute for West Ham. Well, not just West Ham, in his entire career. So this is the fact that he's been directly involved in substitutions throughout his career, be that either coming on or off or due to a red card. Now, I feel like I've said that three or four times on the podcast because it's happened three or four times in the past season, in the past year alone. This is just remarkable. Number 19 for Fabianski.
It has to be a world record. Has to be a world record. And what I would say is it's got to make you question if you're a team bringing in Fabianski as a number two, because he just seems like a jinx.
So what is it with this? Is it just the fact that Areola or all the goalkeepers that Fabianski has worked with over the years tend to be injury prone? Or is this just something in the air?
I mean, I guess there'll be an argument. The logical argument will be the number of games that he's been involved in during his career. Then, of course, there's going to be a higher chance of coming on or off. But I'm sure that most goalkeepers listening in that have done that two role. And I think I came on, if I'm right in thinking, I think it was twice in my whole career, in a 15-year career, I came on twice. And I think that's kind of normal. You know, during the period of the season, I know there's maybe more injuries now than there were back in the day, but during the period of the season, if you come on once, you know, that's probably, I guess the average would be less than one during a game. So 19 over the course of a career does seem extraordinarily high.
It was, I believe, his 200th appearance for the club at the same time. That's either in the Premier League. No, it must be for West Ham, his 200th club appearance, all competitions. But in the first half, there was also a very good save before Areola had gone off at halftime. He made an excellent save from Kevin De Bruyne. Not much said about it, though.
No, this bugged me because I was watching this game live, and when I've seen the save, I mean, extraordinary save, fantastic save. For the fact that it was unexpected, so for those that haven't seen it, short corner played by De Bruyne, terrible defending, to be honest. Only one went out, which then left De Bruyne free when the ball was played back to him. And of course, as a goalkeeper, given that the ball was quite wide, you're taking up a position 99 times out of 100, that ball's crossed into the box. But of course, De Bruyne, with the talent that he's got, he has absolutely smashed it into the near top corner. Has to be a goal. And the way that Areola readjusted, got himself back, the athleticism he showed to get a right hand to it and put it over the bar, for me, one of the best, if not the best save of the weekend. And it bugged me for the fact that the commentators, I'm listening for the next minute, like, please just reference the save. And all you got, I think, from memory was, oh, nearly got caught out there, you know. And it was, but the actual save, I think this beats most goalkeepers, because I don't think most goalkeepers will have the speed, the athleticism to get back, especially if they're taking up a true position where they're looking to read the cross, looking to be proactive and try and come for the cross. I think this beats 9 out of 10 goalkeepers comfortably. So how the save wasn't really referenced really did bug me.
I'm going to move on to three goalkeepers that went straight in at the weekend. So Aaron Ramsdale, Kepa Arrizabalaga and Sam Johnstone. So Ramsdale going into Southampton, Kepa going into Bournemouth and Sam Johnstone going in to Wolverhampton Wanderers. Just wanted to get your thoughts on the fact that they went straight in. Now, I guess ordinarily, if this was an outfielder, we probably wouldn't be saying too much about it. And it has happened in the past, so maybe it's not an issue at all. But goalkeepers who are signed a day, 2 days before, going straight into starting lineups.
Yeah, do you know what? I get it in that all of these are big signings for the club and they want to get them in, get them running straight away. There is the argument, though, that, of course, if you're going into a new team, there will be certain patterns of play, the individuals knowing your back line. There's so much to it that will be very new. So you could argue that actually it makes more sense, certainly for a week or two, to get them bedded in so they can get to know everybody, get to know the club, get to know exactly the style of play, especially now with the way in which goalkeepers play out. There's so many different exit routes and strategies from a goal kick, for instance. You're not going to be able to learn that in a day or two. So it does put the goalkeepers under that bit more pressure and can sometimes mean that you're almost starting on the back foot a little bit. But at the same time, I get it from a political point of view. You're bringing in a big signing. You're spending a lot of money, certainly in the case of Sam Johnstone, Aaron Ramsdale, both big signings for the club. Obviously, Kepa being, well, still world record signing as it stands. So it's a big name to come into the club. I get politically why you would put them in straight away. But I do think in a perfect world, there is an argument, especially when, you know, both all these teams we're talking about have got very capable goalkeepers that have been playing in the previous game. So I would suggest something like this. Ordinarily, the perfect world, you would have an extra week or two. But then similarly, I also get the counter argument, which will be if you did that and suddenly the other goalkeeper had a fantastic game, then it could mean that your new signing is stepping in on the back foot. So I know why they do it, but at the same time, I do think a situation like this, ordinarily it's nicer for a goalkeeper to have a week or two, certainly with the international break coming up as well. You could argue it's a perfect argument to have a couple of weeks where you can really get to know everything you need to know and then hit the ground running in the next game.
He made, Kepa, this is, made a really nice save in the first half, a mad game at Goodison Park. What a game for your debut for your new club. But a really nice save in the first half from Seamus Coleman. I really like these types of saves that don't get too much reaction again from commentators or fans, to be honest. But yeah, a really nice stop from Kepa. And Jordan Pickford at the end of that game, I think the last 5 minutes, absolutely under siege.
Yeah, just a ridiculous end to this game. I mean, yeah, felt for Jordan Pickford because he makes a really good save low down to his left. And he must have thought at that point, surely I've just won as a point, which even saying that in the 86th minute, you know, you would have thought would have been ridiculous. But they just disintegrated in the last few minutes. And actually that, you know, you mentioned the Kepa save, makes it that bit more important. And again, I like this for the simplicity of it. You know, it's one of these. And that's just similarly, we're going to talk about Dean Henderson, I know, in a bit. And there's certain similarities between these two saves in that certainly with this one, when the player cuts inside, Kepa, the natural reaction sometimes can be to charge at the ball. He's only 6 yards out, so often it can be charge and spread. But the fact that he just holds his position, holds his set position, and just reacts to the shot, and he makes it, like you say, it's an excellent save, makes it look simple, won't get a lot of love for making the save, but the decision making, the execution was excellent in this situation.
Ipswich 1, Fulham 1. Bernd Leno, both the commentator and Joe Hart suggested he could have done better for Liam Delap's goal. And the same goes for Nick Pope, the own goal scored by Dan Byrne. Now, sometimes, yeah, you shouldn't laugh at misfortune in this sense, but that goal was quite funny in a way. Newcastle did win the game 2-1, so effectively it doesn't really matter.
No, true. And I actually felt for Dan Byrne because when you watch it, when you first see it, you think, oh, what's he done there? And then you see it again. It's just the fact that in the second phase of play, Pope gets the smallest of fingertips as it comes back across, which then absolutely kills Dan Byrne. So you watch it first time, it looks like he's just walked up to it and punted it in his own net. But then you see that slight touch and realise it's probably not a great deal he could do. But no, with the Nick Pope one, look, this is just that classic one for me where he's committed to the scoop early and then soon realised that it's too wide to do that. And this is that classic one. If you still try and do the scoop technique and it's outside the line of the body, how many times you see it squirm through the arms and look terrible. And he actually, I know this is probably going to go against what a lot of the commentators said about this moment, he actually does very well from that point because once he realises that he can't scoop it, he manufactures a way to, it's almost like a volleyball technique, to kind of get it out wide. And he actually does parry it into a safe area. Then in the follow-up, he actually makes a very good save, but it's just unfortunate that it goes obviously into Dan Byrne and into the net. So yes, it was the wrong technique. You know, if he looked at that again, that would be a little collapse dive down to his left and look to hold it. But once he had chosen the wrong technique, he actually doesn't do anything wrong from that point. But unfortunately, the parry wide is collected quite quickly. The shot back in, he gets his fingertip, which would have saved it. It would have gone around the post. But it's just unfortunate that Dan Byrne's there. And naturally, commentators will pick up on this and look at that initial technique and question that. And then in regards to Leno, I mean, I've watched this a few times. I don't know, this again falls in that category for me that if he saves it, we're highlighting this as a worldie. You know, he goes with two hands and it's kind of smack bang in between low and high hand. You know, it's, and you can see that by the fact that both hands are together when he gets fingertips to it and it creeps in the corner. So ordinarily, when you're looking at something like this, you might say, oh, do you know what? If it had just gone with the top hand, he might have got a bit of an extra reach. Or if it had just gone with the lower hand, he might have got a bit of an extra reach. But I think it's at that height where both are equidistant. I think that's probably the right word. And he gets fingertips, goes in the corner. So I'd probably be a bit lighter on him here. I think that you save this, it's a worldie. You know, it goes in the corner like it did. Are you expected to save it? I don't think so. I think it's a well-placed enough shot with enough power that, again, this will beat most goalkeepers. But no doubt, given the levels of excellence that he has and how consistent he's been, he'll probably look at it and feel like, could he have got a tiny bit more on it? But we are talking millimetres.
A very minor goal, or perhaps it's not minor, to be fair. At Old Trafford, Manchester United 0, Liverpool 3. The third goal scored by Mo Salah. I'd just like to get your thoughts on the positioning of Andre Onana for this one.
Yeah, and do you know what? I know when I've seen the screenshot and I saw a screenshot from behind the goal when the shot's taken, and of course he is way out of position. But when you actually see the play, and I think goalkeepers will appreciate this, it's really difficult because his positioning initially is fine. When the ball shifted across, he takes one step to his left and then he sets. And had he had taken that extra step, the issue with that is then his weight would have been on his left-hand side. He would have been beaten very easily back to his right-hand side. So he's made the decision to just find a position where he can set and at least get a dive away. Now, unfortunately, he is still way out of position. So it's a well-placed shot. It's not right in the corner, but it's enough power, about half a yard inside the post. But because he wasn't able to get further across, that was the issue. Now, the counter-argument again could be that, okay, take that second step, get yourself fully in line. But when the shot struck, you are going to have your weight on the left-hand side. Now, had he done this, he probably saves this shot. But if it was a shot back on him, back into the other corner, then I don't think he has any chance of saving it. So I understand what he's done. And I think, again, it's not necessarily an error, but I think different goalkeepers might have handled this situation differently. For what it's worth, I probably would have done what Onana did, which is got a step, make sure I'm set and can at least get a dive away. But unfortunately, in this situation, the attacker took it very well.
And finally, Chelsea 1, Crystal Palace 1. And Dean Henderson, celebration of the weekend. Another double armour. So we saw this with Victor Johansson last week. Both hands in the air. Love to see it. Three really good saves in this one.
Yeah, really good performance. Top, top performance. We'll start with that save in particular because, as I mentioned, certain similarities with Kepa in that, again, he just held his position. He got into position really early. As the players coming closer, the temptation can be to drive out and to spread, but he just stood and stood and stood. And by the time the player took the shot, he's just performed a really nice barrier, makes himself really big, and it is a massive save. But again, just the patience he showed in this, I was really impressed with. And then a top save first half. I mean, a tip over the bar. He has quite a low set position, Dean Henderson, which makes this type of save even more difficult. But he's so quick to get his hands up, so athletic, just to get the smallest of fingertips just to help it over the bar. Top, top save.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It is the EFL overview, starting in the Championship, where we shall start with Spawny Goal of the Week, and that goes to Callum O'Hare of Sheffield United, although not credited to him and instead given as an own goal to Dan Backman. That was one of four own goals in the Championship this weekend. Very good penalty save from Backman from Kiefer Moore shortly after that. Double save of the weekend goes to Max O'Leary. Incredible reactions to thwart Jerry Yates and Aaron Cashin as Bristol City fell 3-0 to Derby. Jacob Zetterstrom at the other end looking very Zetterstrong for the home side. Connor Hazard keeping Plymouth in the game again, just as he did last week at QPR. Six saves in total, but unable to keep out the winner scored by Milan Manhurth. Paul Nardi, a first proper mention for him on the podcast. Huge stop from Elijah Adebayo with Luton man one-on-one. That was at 1-0 down. QPR went on to win the game 2-1. And James Trafford, we'll just mention this, a quick mention for his late foray into the opposition half at the end of that draw between Burnley and Blackburn.
Yeah, I think we'll keep James Trafford till the end because I did enjoy this. But yeah, start with Connor Hazard. Excellent again. I mean, both goalkeepers. Grimshaw had a very impressive debut in the week as well for Plymouth, and it does feel like they are conceding a lot of chances, and credit to Connor Hazard again, kept the score low. Some brilliant saves again. Really strong start to the season for him. Mentioned Nardi, really enjoyed this save. This was one, and I've spoke about being patient, holding your ground, etc. Of course, if you feel you can get close enough to then make the spread, then by all means, of course, get yourself out there and get that spread at feet. And he certainly did this with this particular save. Bearing in mind, again, he came near enough to the edge of the box, but the ball's played across. He's read the situation brilliantly. The speed at which he got out and the technique he performed once he got there made himself huge. It was a top save, that one in particular. Max O'Leary, definitely worth a mention. Great double save. Really brave with this one initially. And Jacob Zetterstrom, wanted to give him a mention because I thought he was outstanding. I actually watched this game live and just save after save. Looks so dominant. Such a big goalkeeper, but moves so, so well. A couple of excellent spreads on the angle. One in particular, actually, technically double save as the ball drops. Very quick to get up, get a hand to it. I thought the save on the angle, second half to his right, very good. Just so sharp. The shot was taken a little bit by surprise, but the speed at which he gets to his right, and then the save as well, low right towards the end, very, very good, and certainly well worth the clean sheet.
Yes, indeed it was. Looks like a very good signing that. You said you wanted to save James Trafford until the end.
Yes, have to talk about Mr. Trafford. No, I like this. Again, do you know what? For those that are starting to get to know James Trafford as a goalkeeper, big personality, incredibly confident. Obviously, a lot of interest in him in the summer. Certainly, you know, he'll go on to be a top Premier League goalkeeper and probably should have got his move this summer, but didn't happen. But I like this. Again, just showing that kind of character where he's essentially free kick four, what's about 20, 25 yards out, and he's up the other end of the pitch, helping to direct, helping to effectively captain. You know, and people talk about goalkeepers as captains, should they be captains? And one of the arguments is you can't really affect play all that much. But actually, this is an example where he's seen something, or maybe he's heard something from the sideline. And again, he's got that sort of confidence when there is a break in play to go up there and start to give directions. And again, it's not, you know, you look at who he was actually talking to, it was the likes of Jay Rodriguez, some of the older pros. But again, he's got that confidence and belief in what he's saying to go up and do that. So no, I really, really enjoyed this.
Into League One with Josh Griffiths flying to his right to pour a header from Shane Lavery wide. That was late in the first half. 5 minutes later, just before half-time, Bristol Rovers took the lead against Cambridge. 2 minutes after the restart, they made it 2-0, and that is how it ended. It's a big save from Griffiths there. A tale of two keepers at Bloomfield Road, Richard O'Donnell and Franco Ravizzoli, both in, but both due to contend with new signings at Blackpool and Wickham, respectively. Harry Tyrer in on loan from Everton, and Shamal George signed from Livingston. It's time for one of these.
Bada boom, bada bing. It's only a keeper, keeper.
Birmingham's Bailey Peacock-Farrell letting one slip from Taylor Asgard as Wigan looked to have nicked a point from St Andrews, but Bailey bailed out by Scott Wright's late winner as the home side remain unbeaten. Christy Pym will mention this with a save of the weekend contender inside the first couple of minutes in Mansfield's clash with Stockport. So he touched a Jaden Fevrier rocket onto the bar and then very nearly kept out the equaliser in what ended as a 1-1 draw. And Max Crocombe, MOM again for Burton and saving a point at Northampton at the death, diving low to his left to deny Sam Hoskins.
Yeah, lots to get through in League One. I'm going to start with Josh Griffiths, but I've got the picture of the save in my mind. You said it was to his right-hand side. I'm pretty sure it was his left. So I'm just going to correct you on that. Or were you meaning right-hand side as you see it? I don't know if I really should make such a big deal of this.
You are, yeah, you're correct. It was to his left, to his right, as we look at it.
Right, fine. Okay, but yeah, excellent save. Josh Griffiths didn't really need to go into that much detail, but no, very good. Really sharp to his left to get fingertips around the post. You mentioned Max Crocombe there. Again, another top performance, really continuing from where he left off last season. And the save down low left, again, so sharp, through bodies to get his left hand, put it around the post. Very, very good. Christy Pym, definitely need to talk about this one because this is one of those classic ones. Again, if it goes in, do people question the fact that it was near side? But you watch this, the power on this strike, how he's reacted as quickly as he has and got enough of a hand on it to get it up onto the crossbar. I thought this was a top save, definitely up there with one of the saves of the weekend. Really good save, Richard O'Donnell down low to his right. Real tricky one, just pitching just in front of him, but gets a nice right hand to it, scoops it up out of danger. And Bailey Peacock-Farrell, yeah, tough moment there. this. It's that classic one. We've seen it over and over again where it just didn't quite get the barrier in place. And of course, once it does go through the arms, if the legs aren't secure and you haven't got that strong barrier, then it can just squirm through and it's a horrible moment. How often do we see it where the goalkeeper turns around very quickly, tries to claw it out, but it's already gone over the line. So a tough moment for him.
And finishing in League Two, where there was a goalmouth scramble galore at Plough Lane. Owen Goodman coming out on top there. Incredible saves twice from Fleetwood's Brendan Wiredu and then Matty Virtue as the ball was somehow kept out and the Dons took all 3 points. Paul Farman with three lovely late saves as Barrow left Harrogate with a victory. Pick of the bunch very similar to that of Josh Griffiths, actually, in flying left to pat away a close-range Matty Fold's effort. Nick Townsend continuing to do what Nick Townsend seemingly does. Jordan Slew, Guion Edwards and Callum Jones all brilliantly denied with Newport winning away at Morecambe. And the winner there sadly coming from Stuart Moore's clearance falling straight to Aaron Wildig, who duly slotted home with ease.
Yeah, we'll start with Owen Goodman. Crazy scramble, this one. Really brave as well. When it's in there, it's in the six-yard box. There's 7-8 bodies around. Legs are flying. And again, you could just see that he was more than happy to get himself involved, throw himself in everything. Top goalkeeping. Again, the Paul Farman save you mentioned, I've got this as one of my top saves of the weekend as well. Really sharp, mid-left. Very, very quick to get across and get a hand to it. Felt for Stuart Moore. Just a real needless passage of play where throw in back to the fullback, back to the centre half, turns around and kicks it back without any real thought. And again, he's only probably 7-8 yards away from him at this point. Played it back onto his left foot. And you could just see what Stuart Moore's tried to do in that moment with a striker bearing down on him. Just get rid. It's the right advice and it's actually the right decision. Didn't quite execute the clearance. Gets blocked. It could go anywhere. Of course, drops to the lad's feet and he puts it past him. So a tough moment for him. And then to finish off with Nick Townsend. I know we were speaking positively about him last week as well and certainly carrying on his good form. Really good save this top right. Big hand. Quite a sharp strike as well. This beats most goalkeepers, but really quick up to his right hand side. Big hand over the bar. Very, very good.
Good stuff, Richard. That's pretty much us done. We will mention it's international break, of course, so we will mention the two squads that were named, the men's senior team and the under-21s. The senior team, Nick Pope back in the three, so Pope, Henderson and Jordan Pickford. And in the under-21s, I would say that is the strongest goalkeeping three I've seen in the under-21s for a long time. You've got James Trafford, you've got James Beadle and you've got Sam Tickle.
Yeah, I think really interesting now this season with what we saw on deadline day, because you mentioned the three in the senior team. Of course, the likes of Aaron Ramsdale, Sam Johnston, now they've got starting spots. So really curious to see how that plays out, because effectively you've got five there that would be not expecting to be in the squad, but certainly in and around it. So it'd be interesting to see if it's the same three, the next squad. There's plenty of games between now and the next international break. So can the likes of Aaron Ramsdale get himself back into it? Can Sam Johnston get himself back into it? And you mentioned the under-21 squad. Again, three goalkeepers that are playing regularly. James Trafford, so much Premier League experience now and certainly doing well for Burnley. Same with James Beadle. Tough start for Sheffield Wednesday, but he's looked strong. And Sam Tickle, again, carrying on from where he left off last season. Plenty of noise around Sam Tickle as well at the moment. So, yeah, I think it's safe to say that English goalkeeping is in a very healthy position as we speak.
And we'll finish on a tweet that we had in from @KingWolf84, who says, "Got to love a goalkeeper scoring. Surely a special mention in the podcast." And he or she, sorry, has retweeted, or they have retweeted a tweet from Robin Berner, which says, "Bordeaux are back after being declared bankrupt and relegated to the fifth division in the summer. Their first game ended with goalkeeper Lassana Diabate scoring a last gasp equaliser at Poitiers. Lovely to see, and a heck of a celebration too, kicking that corner flag."
Yeah, I did see this, and no, it's nice. Look, obviously it sounds like, and not that we've got, or I certainly haven't got a great deal of information as to what's happened there, but no doubt it sounds like it's been a horrendous time for the club. And you need things like this to just build that positive momentum again. So a moment like this, fantastic for the goalkeeper, good for the club that will no doubt be trying to make their way back up the leagues. And yeah, there's got to be, and I'm saying this as if I've experienced it. I haven't, unfortunately, but for a goalkeeper, there's got to be no better feeling than that. Firstly, actually getting the permission to go up in the last minute, because that was something that I rarely got. I asked every single time that we were one down, a couple of minutes to go, never got permission. So to actually get permission first and foremost, but then to execute it, get the goal, get the equaliser, must be the best feeling. Certainly going back into the changing room after, all the lads buzzing. So no, delighted for him.
Lovely stuff. Okay, Richard, that's us done. We will be back with a GKs on their way. Like we said, no between the sticks next weekend. That'll be in a couple of weeks, but we will go over in detail all of the goalkeeping transfers to have occurred this summer. The transfer window is now shut. A little bit of a lull, maybe. Who knows? And then it's all systems go for January.
It is indeed. So there you go. A couple of weeks off gives you a chance to work on your next triathlon and a top 10 finish.
Richard, thank you.
Matthew, thank you.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers.
Oi!
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.